Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
This Triple American Australia podcast is brought to you by Cooper's Mild Ale. Cooper's Mild Ale is a 3.5% mid-strength beer that tastes more like a full-strength beer because you can actually taste it.
Welcome back to The Working Week, Australia. Mikey Robbins with me today. Did you have a good weekend, Mikey?
I had a cracker, mate.
Good.
Absolutely. Cracker on a belter.
In good form today because we've got a lot on the show. We've got a new review from Chopper. And I'll be explaining what the latest fitness fad is. There's a new one out, and it's just as shit as all the rest of the ones we've come across.
Outstanding.
In fact, possibly worse. We'll also be playing Drunk or a Kid, and we'll be asking, is chivalry dead?
Another pearl of wisdom from Merrick Watts.
I can say from personal experiences, don't go for a ride down a hill in a shopping trolley. They are an unpredictable beast.
Merrick in Australia. Triple M. Last year, we joined our mates at Cougar Bourbon for the bloke study to find out what makes Aussie blokes tick. This time around, we flipped it, asking women on their opinions on Aussie men in the Bloke Study 2.0. What women want.
Tell me what you want.
Brought to you by Cougar Black, Cougar Bourbon's new 6% premium RTD. We all have a dark side.
Mikey Robbins with me this afternoon. This one comes off the back of, just coincidental, of a weekend where my wife and my family, we all spent the weekend with my mum.
I actually saw some Instagram photos of that. Yeah, have a bit of a barbecue?
Yeah, that was with my brother and my mum. But my missus went away for a night or two with her girlfriends to go and, I don't know, talk about how awesome I am.
Probably.
I actually gave them some charts and stuff like that, whiteboard. With scores on it. Anyway, I presume that's what they did.
I'm imagining the phrase could be bigger was mentioned.
Yeah. It was called. There was another page called Rate Watsy. Anyway, but my wife did stay with my mother, and they actually get along pretty well. My wife and my mum now get along. They're pretty good little mates. Maybe a few years ago, a little less so.
Oh, you reckon?
Oh, no, they're okay, but they're good mates now. But as part of the Cougar Bourbon's Bloke Study, which of course has flipped on to the ladies this year, we're going to ask you, is your mother-in-law the devil? Because here's the thing, 35% of women say they get along really well with their mother-in-law.
Fair enough.
Right? That's probably where my wife falls into that category. 29% say they're pleasant to each other. And 15% say my mother-in-law has passed away. I've never met her. Why would you put that on there? That's an unnecessary detail. Just leave that bracket out.
I was about to say, if my wife wanted to talk to her mother-in-law, she needed a Ouija board.
Yeah. And still too much contact. 11% are other, but here's an interesting. 5% say, I only play nice for the sake of my partner, and 3% of women say she is the devil. Specifically says she's the devil. So not like oh, she's a bit of a demon or God, she's a dragon or a bit of a witch. No, specifically she is the spawn of Satan.
She's a Satan with an apron on.
Mm-hmm. She's the devil and treats me and tells me I'll never be good enough for her son.
you know what that means? You've married a man with mummy issues.
Yeah, the mum just goes, not letting go of this one. Clingy. Interesting though. Only 1% says she's the number one woman in my partner's life and it annoys me. There's ownership issues. Everybody wants to own the dog. So I want to open up the phones on 133353, nice and early today, to tell us, is your mother-in-law the devil? Now, blokes, this could be your mother-in-law. Ladies, it could be your mother-in-law. It doesn't matter, so long as it's a mother-in-law, are they the devil?
See, my mother-in-law, Margaret, is a hoot. I get on really, really well with Margaret. Because when she comes over for lunch or dinner, it's my job to run interference because you can't put her and Laura in the same kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Because that will just go nuclear.
Territorial battle.
Yeah. So it's my job to take her out on the balcony and give her a few wines.
Wow, that sounds bad. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, but that sounds a little bit like, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, but what I discovered...
Have you stand on the stool near the... can you just change that light there on the balcony?
But you know what's funny? Because, you know, I always was on my best behaviour around her. Then a couple of years ago, I found out she has the filthiest sense of humour. You can tell the dirtiest joke, and my mother-in-law will laugh herself senseless.
How's she with language? Is she okay with the language?
Yeah, you know what? You don't overdo it, but if it's involved in the joke, she's fine with it. I have heard her drop the F-bomb once.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
That's more. A real icebreaker, isn't it?
That's a cracker. Yeah. It's like you look at me, how did you learn that word? Oh, that's right, you invented it.
I can genuinely say I've never heard my mother-in-law say the F-bomb.
No, and I
use it all the time. So, you know, I do enough for everybody in the family, to be honest. But it's an interesting call. 133353, taking your calls now. Is your mother-in-law the devil? This is a great opportunity. You can remain anonymous, but you can also just ring up and say your full name. Yeah. I'm happy with that. That's not a problem at all. We can affect your voice, or you can ring up and just say, I'm Brody, who's on the line now. It doesn't matter who you are. We can affect your voice if need be. You can remain anonymous, but ring up and tell us, why is your mother-in-law the devil? Brought to you by Cougar Black. Cougar Bourbon's new 6% premium RTD available now. We all have a dark side, as we'll now see, as it'll be revealed. As we ask you on 133353, is your mother-in-law the devil? Now, mother-in-law's a butt of many a joke.
Yeah, it's comedy gold, really, the mother-in-law joke.
Yeah, sometimes I think that the joke is that the bloke has a problem with his wife's mum.
Yeah.
But I reckon it's more to the ladies like to bicker amongst each other and have ownership over things like, I don't know, kitchen, husbands, etc., grandchildren, whatever.
Actually, I must admit, my mother-in-law, Margaret, because she's like 85 now, she's just moved in the 21st century. She's just discovered Uber.
Oh, really?
She loves the Uber.
Are all people on Uber now?
Yeah, Margaret goes crazy for the Uber.
Oh, that's great. That's like a mobility scooter that you have to pay for.
Yeah, exactly.
Each time you use it.
Yep.
Good times. 133353 is the number to call. Got Stephen online. G'day, Steve.
G'day, mate. How's it going?
Very good indeed. I don't know if that's your real name. It's not important. You're probably taking your life into your own hands here. Is your mother-in-law the devil?
My mother-in-law's fine. I do sort of, you know, I've never sworn in front of her, and I don't ever think I've ever heard her swear. But it's my wife has the issue, I think, with my mum.
Oh, yeah? Here we go.
My wife was told by my mum, so I hear, that my mum thought she wouldn't make a very good parent.
Oh no!
And my wife reminds me of that quite often. Every time I say, "How about we have mum over?" It's like, blah blah blah. And okay, well, mum's not coming over.
Because that is like literally the worst possible thing that a mother-in-law can say.
Exactly. I mean, she could have said, you know, that she's not good enough for you. And you'd sort of go, oh, yeah. But say she, I don't think you're going to make a good parent. That's below the belt, mate.
It was untidy. And then probably the same month,
untidy.
My best mate's mum at a funeral turned to my wife and said, do you know what? I didn't like you when I first met you, but you're okay now.
Oh, good timing.
In the same month, my wife just looked at me and went, what is it with you and your friends?
Yeah, all your family.
I'd say your wife's a wonderfully tolerant woman, mate.
Yeah,
she's a keeper. Yeah.
She puts up with me, so what can I say?
Yeah, she's on Prozac, Steve. What's going on there? Thank you, mate. Let's get to Nathan. Hello, Nathan.
G'day, Mez. How are you?
You're good, mate. All right, is your missus, is your mother-in-law is the devil?
No, it's actually my grandmother.
Oh, great. Oh. Here we go. All right.
Yeah, bring it on.
Okay. My parents are together 18 years before they split. My mum forever blames my nan for the split up.
Mm.
She's split up my sister and she's tried to split me up, my uncle. She's trying to split everybody up.
Okay.
He told my mum that when I was in her womb, that I was the illegitimate child. I was not her son's child.
Oh, what?
Wow.
So she tried to say that your mother had had an affair? And that you were actually somebody else's son.
Yeah.
Do you know what she is, mate?
Oh, wow.
Do you know what she is? She's a bad nana. She's a bad nana.
Very bad.
Do you spend any time with her, Nath? Do you spend Christmas or anything with Nan, or you all just stay away from Nan?
Yeah. Well, after the split up, we had nowhere else to go, so we went to live with my Nan. So then my father remarried, and then she's forever fighting with her.
Oh.
You know, the old... This side of the kitchen's mine. You're not allowed to touch this. Tipping out the Sunday roast in the garbage or giving it to the dogs.
Seriously, I've never met her and I'm terrified of her.
Yeah, I'm glad she's not mine. And there's a lot of blokes now just going, oh, no, actually, I don't have it that bad at all. That's actually, let's put things into perspective. Let's get a woman's perspective on this. Hello, Jane.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, very good indeed. All right, is it your mother-in-law or is it you? That's the mother.
It was my partner's mother, and unfortunately, I'm not going to be too nasty because she did just leave us a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, where'd you go, Goldie? Up the Goldie, something like that, or where's she gone?
Oh,
overseas for holiday, Fiji.
No, she's not coming back. Let's say, a long cold journey. But every second Saturday, she come to our house, 10 o'clock in the morning, walking like the Queen of Sheba, sit down straight on the couch. They are Chinese people, so they were limited in their English. But as soon as she sat down on the couch, she'd take her shoes off and go, "Do it now, do it now." And I'm thinking, my God, the first time I saw it. Anyway, what her son had to do, my partner, is massage her feet for 2 hours. These arthritic, cramped up dinosaur toes for 2 hours. I know. I'm sorry. Have I given you goosebumps?
No, that's
sorry.
Not the devil. That's the dragon. There's something wrong with that.
Sorry. Do you drag him on next week?
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Jane.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Radio is about living on the edge.
Oh, you know what I do? I start the sentence and hope that the answer will come to me. That is terrifyingly about 99% of everything I do in my job and in my career. Start it, see how it goes, hope for the best.
American Australia, Triple M.
For Cooper's Mile, I've got Mikey Robbins with me this afternoon.
So this weekend, we were going through receipts, because that's what grown-ups do for fun, apparently.
What?
we had to figure out, you know, tax deductions and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And, you know, so we're going through an old shoebox full of receipts, and I'm in an old shoebox, and I dug one out. I realised I think I might have the oldest TV in Sydney, because it's not even a flat screen. It's one of the big old Sonys.
Oh, yeah, fatback.
Old fatback, yeah, one of those ones that, you know, it takes two big guys to carry. Yeah. Because I looked at it, and it actually was bought 20 years ago last week. It's the big one. And look, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, I keep saying to my wife, "Can we get a new TV?" And she goes, "Is there anything wrong with this one?" I went, "It's not as good as my mate's."
Oh, no, you need a new telly. Fatbacks are just, they're knackered. Get an OLED.
Yeah, but see,
good.
But see, here's my thing. If I hang on to the fatback long enough, I reckon it's going to be a collector's item.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, fair enough.
No, it's going to be a pain in the ass to move. I'll tell you how I know this, right? Because I did what you did. I tried to hold out for as long as I could.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I know the moment I buy a new telly, they're going to change the technology.
Yeah. Well, see, I had, and that's what happens, but you still got better technology. So years ago, I had a Hitachi, because I always like to buy a television that also makes trains.
Yeah, that's what I look for too.
Yeah. So I got a train manufactured television in the 90s, and I held on to it forever and ever and ever. And it was a pretty serviceable television. Anyway, it was in like a little nook underneath the stairs there where, you know, we'd sit around and that's where we watched television. And then when we moved house, when we sold our place, I went, all right, well, I guess I'll be taking old Fatback with me.
Old Fatback.
And I went to go and move it. I went, I can't move it. I can't get this bugger out of there. And I went, you know what? I'm just going to leave it here. And it's a present for the new owners. There you go. Old Fatback for you. Hitachi, there's your dream right there.
So you know you've got an old TV when you see TVs three generations newer out on the footpath on hard rubbish.
I know. When you see a flat screen out in the easement, you go, what? Hang on a second. I'll take that.
Oh, yeah.
As people do. And then people, you know, nothing worse if you see people go up and they go, oh, no, it's not a digital one.
So yeah.
I just keep moving, kids.
I wonder if I put old Fatback out, anyone take him?
20 years old, you reckon, television?
No, it is exactly 20 years old last week.
Because I thought we would do a little quiz, because the boys told me that you had a 20-year-old television, and I thought, you know what, your television, although it might be old, has probably witnessed some of the greatest, and broadcast to you some of the greatest moments in Australian television.
Yeah, it has, actually, yeah.
So I thought what I'd do is just compile a little quiz for you of some of the greatest moments of the last 20-odd years of television. And see if you can recall them, Mikey. I reckon you'll be a good chance. Okay, first one, have a listen to this. Tell me what
coffee,
it is.
Coffee, croissants, and a vocal.
2001.
Oh, Bert.
Yeah, who's that? 2001. I'll give you a clue. Neighbours.
Oh, was that?
Bouncer had his nuts cut off.
Yeah.
So
that was I believe it was known as the snip heard around the world.
Yep. Just shockwaves. What? Yeah. No.
Actually, what?
Sorry. Madge died. Oh, what a downer.
Yeah.
Still not as bad as when Bouncer lost his ghoulies. Okay. Try for another one, Mikey.
I don't watch soap operas, but keep going.
Okay. You might have seen. I reckon you've seen this. You might have seen this.
Man, if they turned up looking like that in the United States.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, actually. Yeah, so we'll just keep it at zero. Like, hey, there's no more show.
Yeah, that's Harry Connick Jr. Reacting to some blackface performing on Hey Hey.
No, he was judging Australian Idol.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, no, good point.
No, that was 2009. Harry Connick Jr. Let us know that blackfacing was absolutely taboo on television, like we hadn't already figured it out. But it's amazing. It's amazing when an entire nation learns something from Harry Connick Jr. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's 20-odd million people, and we just went, oh, yeah. Thanks, Harry Connick Jr. Yeah. What else could you possibly do? Nothing. Okay, next one.
Yeah, mate.
Takes the lead, looks the winner, draws away from Graham and Mary. This is a famous victory, a magnificent performance.
I'll give you the year, but I don't think you need it.
Cathy Freeman.
Bingo! 2000 Olympic Games.
I was there.
Won the 400 metres there.
The best sporting event I've ever been to.
See, that's. I'm glad you got that one, Mikey. Okay, this is a family favourite. Have a listen to this. Oh, God. I think I've had to have a seizure. I think a simultaneous flashback / seizure.
Oh, you remember that thing where you'd fall asleep in front of the telly and suddenly that jingle would wake you up?
Yeah.
That is, of course, the Rage theme. And the guy who does the Rage, his name is Mark Fitzgerald. He's a TV producer at the ABC. It was Fitzy. You know Fitzy, yeah.
Was it?
It's Fitzy that does the Rage.
Well, I thought it was a woman.
Well, there you go. It's Fitzy. Close enough.
Okay, finally, one of the greatest moments in Australian television history. You can't miss this one. Anyone? That's a pretty big one. 2009, second series of Underbelly.
Oh, that's where Merrick Watts gets shot.
Everybody's favourite. Mike, if I was to ask you, what's your go-to classic for karaoke, if
leaving.
You have a crack?
Just getting up and leaving. I would, you know, if I had a choice between karaoke and giving myself a vasectomy, give me a knife.
Really?
A butter knife.
I'm with you. You know what? Like, I'll do anything for attention, and I think that's well documented, but I hate singing. I just cringe and hate myself for it.
No, you weren't told like I was in sixth class by the choir mistress. Come over here, Michael. Can you sing without making a noise? Because you're just there because you fill up quite a bit of space.
So that's less than humming.
Less than humming. She said you can move your mouth, but don't make any noise because it's not nice.
That's a great title for your autobiography. Mikey Robbins, Less Than Humming.
Less Than Humming.
The Mikey Robbins story.
Less Than Humming.
Well, listen, if you do like karaoke, then listen to this.
Yes, hello Australia, it's Chopper here. This week I'm talking about the ancient Japanese art form of karaoke. It comes from the Japanese word meaning kara, to sing, and okay meaning just okay. You pick a song from a book of songs you don't like, and then stand up and make an ass for yourself in front of a bunch of strangers. Before you sing, all the beer you drank is saying, you are so good at singing, but then when you stand up and start singing, the look on everyone's face seems to say, when you sing, you sound like someone's drowning a guinea pig slowly beer, not enough water. You suddenly realise you don't want to do this at all. You also suddenly realise that you and Whitney Houston have very different vocal ranges, but at least you know how to survive a spa bath. So about one verse into I Will Always Love You, it becomes obvious that you have no business singing in front of a crowd, but there's still 2 whole minutes of the song to go, and for some reason, just walking away isn't an option. So you hate yourself more with each bum note and each butchered harmony, and the crowd seems to hate you even more than that, and the more humiliated you are, the worse your singing gets, and the worse your singing gets, the more humiliated you are, and on it goes. And just when you think it can't get any worse, there is a 16-bar instrumental break. Shoot me in the face, please. So why do people do it? Why do people sing? And more to the point, why do people listen to other people's crappy singing? Well, there is a German word you may be familiar with, Schadenfreude, which roughly means the pleasure you take in someone else's misfortune. If you're singing badly, then you get to enjoy just how much everyone else hates it. And if you're in the crowd, you get off on just how much the person up there hates being alive. One of the happiest moments of my life was seeing an English backpacker get through the first verse of American Pie, and then the look on his face when he figured out that there were still 45 verses to go. The worst people at karaoke are the ones who can actually sing. These people are usually too ugly for X Factor, and that says a lot. I mean, Susan Boyle looked like someone drew a face on an elbow with Texter. What miserable f-holes they are. They pretend to be reluctant and shy. Oh, I don't know. I shouldn't. No, I'm too embarrassed. Oh, all right. And then they suddenly rip out an Adele song, and it's obvious they've been practicing forever. Boo! Being good at karaoke is like going to high-five someone with no arms. You're just rubbing it in. If you're good enough to sing, go and do it elsewhere. Until then, shut up and suck like the rest of us. Karaoke gets 2.5 stars.
Merrick and Mikey are getting ready for summer.
Went to the gym this morning.
What's your favourite machine?
The floor, I would say.
Yeah, you like the floor.
Just, yeah, laying on the floor afterwards. Yeah. That's my favourite part.
I'd be fan of the Coke machine myself, actually.
Merrick in Australia, Triple M.
For Cooper's Mild Ale, I've got Mikey Robbins with me this afternoon. And funny, we should be talking about fitness because there's a brand new fitness craze.
Oh, just what I need.
Yeah, because you know what? The more fitness crazes that you get involved in,
the better you are, the healthier you're going to be.
100%. I mean, let's just look at some of the great ones from the past that we're still not doing. Yeah. 8-minute abs. Anybody? That's, you could get just in 8 minutes, yep, of watching a VHS copy, you could get abs from doing that. 8 minutes on VHS. Turns out, no.
My other favourite too was the sauna suit.
One of the greats.
Yeah, which is basically like this sort of, look like a tinfoil suit, yep, you put it over yourself. Yeah, they got discontinued after people suffered heat stroke, muscle cramps and fainting. Mm. Mind you, I have an embarrassing story. I was a little fat kid. Oh, this is dreadful.
Did you have a fat suit?
No, but I, to try and lose weight, I thought I'd exercise with a wetsuit on because I used to go scuba diving. And so I put the wetsuit on. And as I was exercising, I saw my mum and my aunt coming home, and I couldn't get it off. So I had to put a sloppy Joe and jeans over the wetsuit and wait for my aunt to leave before I could ask mum to help me get out of it.
Were you sweating bullets?
Oh, man.
It was so hot in a wetsuit, in a lounge room hanging out. Everyone's having a cup of tea. No, thanks, I'm right.
Man, I was sweating like Justin Bieber in an IQ test.
Can I just have 4 litres of Gatorade, please?
Listen. So I sort of know what the sauna suit does. Tai Bo. Did you have a Tai Bo? I'd pick you as a Tai Boer.
No. I did proper martial arts. That's, you know what that is? That's for people who want to combine aerobics and martial arts. And then when they get into a circumstance where they have to defend themselves, they accidentally have to do it choreographed to music. Otherwise, they can't possibly get out of that circumstance.
I tried Tai Chi once. And I got in trouble because I kept giggling at all the names. Yeah, Pat the Swan. Stroke the Tiger. And I just got the giggles.
That's, I don't know if Tai Chi is good for your mind. When I said, I was going, I don't reckon you're going to lose any weight doing Tai Chi. Look, one of my favourite fads was the power balance bands. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone got into those and went, oh, yeah, that's right. You wear a rubber band around your wrist, mm-hmm, and the magic crystal disc in it makes your balance so good, you're automatically good at everything.
and of course, well, the shake weight.
Oh, that was a great one.
We held it in front of you, and basically, yep, it looked like you were stroking the tiger.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It looked like a Tai Chi move, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Of a very personal nature. Well, the latest fitness craze, Mikey.
Yeah.
This comes from Original Strength, and set up by a guy called Tim Anderson, and it is walking on all fours.
You mean crawling?
Yep, 100%. That's it, crawling. So crawling is the new fitness craze that everyone is going nuts about in America. You crawl on the ground, and that is it.
So I normally leave that till 3 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Exactly. That's when you're very tired and emotional.
So like you're bending over and you're, mm-hmm, wouldn't you? No, that'd hurt.
Well, their idea is that they call it like a reset because they reckon it's going back to the movements that we learned as babies, and you can regain lost strength and mobility by carrying out these kind of actions that you did as a baby.
Well, let's go back one step further. If you want proper baby weight loss, put me in a nappy and give me a blankie and I'll lie down.
Exactly. Or once you've done a few of those, crap yourself.
Way to go.
Australia has the big pineapple, the big banana, and now, thanks to Triple M, it's got the big question. The only difference is you don't have to spend 6 hours in the car to get to the big question.
Chivalry. Is it dead, Mikey Robbins? Do you think it is?
Well, there's a photo that's been going around on the internet that makes it look pretty dead. You want
James Ashe?
James Ashe, yeah.
Yeah, plays for Collingwood, good player.
He and his wife were at a party, a wedding in Adelaide on the weekend, and there's a photo of him, because it's raining, holding the umbrella over his head but not hers.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for James, I'm not going to lie.
Not a great look.
No, he's under the umbrella, it's pouring with rain, it's in Adelaide, and he's not even drinking on the streets, which is almost illegal in Adelaide. And
he's also wearing white jeans with a tie.
Yeah, his fashion's not in question here. But his missus is not covered by the umbrella. He's looking after himself. And it would appear as though it's pouring with rain on her and he is not offered the umbrella. And
it also appears like he spent more time on his hair than she did.
Yeah, he's a footballer.
Yeah, of course.
Very good chance of that. You can go to Twitter or our Facebook and you can see the picture for yourself. But it's been circulating today because there has been a lot of conversation about whether or not, you know, a modern bloke should be chivalrous.
Well, I mean, there's you know, defending my lady's honour, but then there's the little things like, yeah, I open the door for Laura.
Yeah.
If it's cold, I give her my jacket.
Yeah, 100%. I do that.
I let her, always when we go for dinner, what do you want, darling?
You let her choose her own food.
Yeah, I know. I'm such a non.
You're so new age.
I'm so new age. No, she always orders first. The one thing I don't do is I don't pull a chair out for when she sits down because I'm clumsy and she could get hurt.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt her.
Yeah.
You don't want to. Look, there is. I would say that I'm quite chivalrous, strangely enough. Like, I always offer my seat to a woman if there's a woman there.
Obviously.
I'm pretty old school. It does tend to be around the ladies. I try to. If I'm in serving dinner or a dinner party, something like that, I'll always, you know, serve women first before I'd serve myself. I wouldn't help myself until I'd served the women at the table first. If I'm on a plane and I see a woman going to the overhead locker to get her bags out, I will assist her because I'm taller. And so, well, not always taller, but it's easy for an access and I'll help her out.
I thought you were going to say I always put her in there.
No. Just nannas. Just chuck them out there. You've got to be careful, though, being chivalrous. So I tried to do it once at Bangkok Airport where there was a woman, she was probably in her late 60s, early 70s, and she was going on a trip to Thailand and on the baggage carousel, her bag came around and I said, no, let me help. And she said, no, I've got it. And I said, no, let me help. I had a few cans on the flight. I'm not going to lie. I had a lot of them. And I grabbed her bag and pulled it off so hard, I snapped off the handle and the contents of her entire suitcase flew out onto the carousel and there was just a gigantic packet of tenor ladies, that's right, adult diapers, and they were just exposed for everybody in the entire airport to see and they just went around.
Well,
I'm
so glad it's once again at an airport a couple of years ago because I was going to help this woman with her boogie board, but at the last minute I thought best not to.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be with us today. Look, we're going to take calls on 133353. Ladies, are men chivalrous enough? Are we doing enough? Is it because I know that some women believe that they don't like the act of chivalry because they feel as though it's a little bit, not misogynistic, but it's a little bit archaic.
Archaic, is the word. Yeah.
And old school, and they just go, no, I can open up doors for myself, or no, I can pull out a chair, or, you know, it's an extension of like an older kind of attitude.
Hmm.
But some women I know, like it, particularly my mum, you know, I saw my mum on the weekend, my brother and I were having a few cans at the barbecue, and I always make sure my mum's fed first, that she's got a drink, and I always take care of her.
Yeah, but you know why? Because she'll stab you.
Yeah, she's a dragon.
Yeah.
And I don't want to pick that fight.
Oh, no, I love you, Mrs. Watts.
133353, ladies, are men chivalrous enough? And blokes, if you've got an opinion on this as well, I'd love to hear it, whether or not you think it's a dying art. It's certainly something I would like to pass on to my son. I would love to think that my boy, when he's, you know, in his early 20s, is the sort of guy who's going to grab some luggage and spill 10 ladies all over an airport and embarrass a poor woman in the 70s.
You know what worries me the most about that story? You know the brand.
Yeah, I do. We're asking on 133353, is chivalry dead? Are men chivalrous enough for you? Because we saw some photos and they've been going around to James Ashe, calling a football player, holding an umbrella over himself whilst it's pouring with rain, whilst his missus is just out there just getting drenched. And that's not a great look. Liam, my producer's got a question that you wanted to pose to us.
Yeah, well, also I looked at that photo in defence of James. her hair looks quite dry.
Yeah.
It looks as though he may have been, you know, holding it over the
of time,
top of her.
Then they've gone under an awning and gone every man to themselves.
Yeah, exactly, which is fair enough. But no, I wanted to ask you guys something. I'm a little bit younger than you both.
Oh, come on.
Well, not that much younger, but younger.
Actually, man, I own scotches and underpants older than you.
But no, something I've seen, and I don't do it with my wife, but I wanted to know whether I should be doing it, is
you start very gently at first.
Yep. I've shown you on these videos.
Yeah, I know. They're inappropriate for the workplace.
Okay. Give me a pen. I'll give you a drawing, right?
I often see men place their hand on the small of their partner's back when they're introducing them to someone.
Yeah, yeah.
As if to sort of usher them forward.
Oh.
Oh, right.
Now, I don't know whether I should be doing that or not.
No, that's a bit pushy, I reckon.
No, I say just, there you go. That's all right. That's just a gentle, and this is where the conversation is.
Well, it depends. You know, who are you introducing her to? Like, if it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah, don't
just
push.
Just keep her well back.
Pull back.
Well,
she's not the queen. You can touch her on the back.
Yeah.
No, I understand that, but I wasn't, you know, if we're introducing people,
You're a different generation. You're Gen Y, aren't you?
Yeah, I am actually Gen Y.
Well, it's different. You guys are, you know, you just do as you're told. It's a little bit different.
while we're talking about introductions, does your wife do this? Because I'm hopeless with names. So we have a rule in our house. If I haven't introduced Laura within 10 seconds, she knows to jump in and go, oh, he's an idiot. I'm Laura, by the way.
Oh, that's a good tactic.
Yeah, because
you've got no memory. Have we got Sarah online? Hello. Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, very good indeed. All right, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think men should be more chivalrous? Or are we doing enough?
I think they could be a little bit more. My husband is wonderful. He opens the door for me. He walks on the road side of the road.
Good one.
And he also carries the shopping. If I have, say, I'm doing between 1 and 5 bags of shopping, he'll automatically take them off me. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah,
he should probably do that.
But it could be a little bit more.
Okay, here's the one too. When you're getting in the back of the cab, who gets in first, you or him?
I do. He opens the door for me and I get in first.
So I do that too, Sarah. I open the door for Mrs. Always. And then as soon as she's in the cab, I just do a runner. I just start running and just run. I just go, just drive her anywhere. No, that's not true.
She could do the runner on you sometimes too.
Yeah, fair enough. Good one, Sarah.
Sarah, you say that like somebody who's a bit surprised she hasn't done it already. That's two of us. Thanks for your call, Sarah. We've got Laura. Hello, Laura.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Is chivalry dead? Are we doing enough, us blokes? Should we be doing more? Yeah.
Yep.
What about Liam just brought up the thing about, you know, putting the hand on the lower back. What's the deal with that?
Oh, man. You know what? When my partner touches me there, it's one of the best feelings ever. So when he's introducing me to someone, he puts his hand on the back of the small of my back. Mm. I think it's great. It actually makes me grin up at him, and it makes the whole introduction that much more comfortable.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Does that help, Liam?
Yeah, it does. But all the time, like if you're at a party, Laura, and he's introducing you to a lot of people. Is he doing it every time or is he just keeping it there?
Pretty much keeping it there mostly when it's a lot of people. But, he's pretty consistent.
Yeah, he likes you a lot,
he likes you. He sounds like a top bloke.
Yeah, you get a good bloke there. Yeah, he's a big...
There you go. Early 20s, chivalry even said.
Yeah, that's good, Laura. You got a good bloke. He's a big fan of Laura.
I should point out to you that Laura's my wife's name, but not that Laura.
Mikey, today I saw on the internet one of the worst pieces of product placement that I have ever come. It is the worst piece of product placement ever of all time.
Oh, well, MasterChef's back.
No, MasterChef does it well. Like,
yeah,
you just
they
kind
do.
Of get it. You know, they go, they oh, look, yeah. you know, we're going to Coles and this is all from Coles and here's Campbell's Soups or whatever, you know, the stocks. You get the stocks and everything like that. So I get the product placement in films. James Bond.
Oh, yeah.
There's always been Omega watches, and if you're listening now, Omega, I would love one of those watches.
I would have thought you'd have gone straight to Aston Martin.
I would love one of those Aston Martins. But even more recently, they've done Heineken as well.
Yep.
They've had product placement, you know, for the first time, Bond drinking beer, and it's been relatively seamless, yeah? Like, you sort of go, oh, you might notice it, but it's not like it kind of intrudes in the script or slows things down. Now we've got people at every level doing it after seeing Bond. General Hospital in America, do you know that crappy daytime soap?
Well, not since I was a student.
Look, it has been around for like
50 years.
50 years.
Over 50 years. I think it debuted like in the early 60s.
And they have had a cavalcade of actors and actresses go through it. But obviously now, with the integration of products into television and film, they've decided to have a crack with the introduction. And see if you can hear it. For Doctor Strange, the new Marvel film. So this is a new Marvel comic film called Doctor Strange as the character. Listen to the way they don't seamlessly bring it into the scripting.
All I know is I miss you. I miss us.
Well, you know, Doctor Strange is about to hit theaters pretty soon.
You may be surprised to hear this, but if I can't see that movie with you, I won't see it. Won't be the same. I don't want to pressure you. It's just how I feel.
Mate, he's talking about going to see Doctor Strange. Like, if he doesn't get to see it with her, everybody here dies.
Yep.
I'll kill everyone.
I'm going postal.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to sound strange, but if I don't see Doctor Strange with you, everybody dies.
It's like, I might try that tonight. Just roll over in bed to Laura and go, Doctor Strange movie's coming. If I don't see it with you, I won't see it with anyone.
When has anybody ever said that about a Marvel film? They're great films.
I love
but nobody
them.
Ever has ever said, if I don't see it with you, world's going to end. The drama, too, with the music in the background. Now, here's the thing.
Darling, every time I see Iron Man, I think of you.
That's what it sounds like.
That's weird.
Product placement needs to be done really subtly.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter whether it be, you know, in television or radio, it needs to have a subtlety and, let's be honest, a great delivery. Not that hammy acting that we just saw in General Hospital. You need a fully qualified professional to do it in their workplace.
Friend of a good weekend?
Yeah, really good. I had a couple, but did you?
Had a couple of Cooper's Smile. Yeah, mystery beer, but drinks like a bullshit beer. So, had a couple of those.
Yeah, Tim Marie, what have you got there?
Found what are it, they? Big bag of mandarins.
I don't know, they're not mandarins, are they?
They're both like mandarin.
No, they taste like?
Yeah.
They're, you know what the smell reminds me of? Cooper's Mildale. You know Cooper's Mildale? 3.5% Mildale.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a mid-strength beer. Drinks like a full-strength beer.
What'd you get up to on the weekend?
Mate, I took it pretty easy. I had a little bit of a drink on Saturday and Sunday, but nothing too indulgent.
Nothing too hectic?
No.
Sounds like me, mate. I said I had a few Cooper's Mildale, 3.5% Mildale.
No way.
Yeah.
That's nice. That is very mild.
Mid-strength beer, but drinks like a full-strength beer.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Okay. Mm. Well, that's what you want.
That's what. It's exactly what you
that's
want.
That's exactly what you want if you go on that mid-strength.
If you go mid-strength, you want it exactly what you want.
Hey, mate.
Hey, bro. How you doing?
Good. You ready to do? We've got live rates.
Easy.
So, how's your weekend?
Good. Good weekend. Had a great weekend.
Just, what did you get to?
Saw my brother and just had a couple of Cooper's Mildales. Had a few. Yeah, it's a mid-strength beer, but tastes more like a full-strength beer.
Right. Oh, very good.
Yeah, how was your weekend?
Not too bad, mate. I had a wedding.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Have Cooper's mid-strength there? I mean,
They had Cooper's, yeah.
And Cooper's, do they have Mildale there?
I don't think so.
You should have asked. Anyway, no big deal. All right, I'll just get the shirts. Lane's probably got them
there. Hey, Rick.
How you going, mate?
Good. Got to record those lines.
Yes, no dramas. I was just talking to Liam about the weekend.
Mm-hmm. How was your weekend?
I had a great weekend. Just had a couple of Cooper's Mildales, 3.5% Mildale. It's a mid-strength beer, but it drinks more like a full-strength beer.
Why are you mentioning...
You're getting paid to credit to us now directly.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like the third time you have
I've not
delivered the credit line.
I have not mentioned it once today. A couple of times.
I heard you saying it to the office before.
Seamless integration.
Was I drunk? Or was I a kid?
Seems apt that we play this on a Monday, Mikey Robbins.
Yep.
Drunk or a kid? This is basically where we ask you to tell us a story, and Mike and I will try to decipher from your tale whether or not you were drunk when you committed this, or I wouldn't say offence, tale, or if you were just a kid. Now, Mikey, you'd like one to kick off. Let's see how I go.
Well, this is something that happened to me, but we're all on the boat together. A mate of mine on a flight back from Canberra, who had eaten nothing but cheese for the whole day, was sick all over my brand new shoes. Okay, were we drunk? Were we kids?
Oh, it's all cheese. Yeah. Just cheese.
Nothing but cheese.
Oh, Because I like cheese when I've had a couple. Too.
I like cheese.
I like cheese when I haven't had a couple.
Oh, mate, I will attach myself to a cow if I get a chance.
I'm going to say kid.
Damn right.
Yeah.
School excursion. I won't mention his name. He'd eaten nothing but cheese sticks all day. Got a little bit sick on the plane and all over my brand new school shoes.
Oh, because if it was cheese and wine, yeah. I probably would have said an adult.
Yeah.
But just cheese.
Just cheese.
Oh, this has got nothing to do with anything, but once I was when I was a young bloke, I was working, my first ever kind of radio experience was at a community radio station called Plenty Valley FM. And I was fresh out of high school and went and had a few drinks with the boys the night before. Got very, very, very seedy the next day. And I thought, you know what I need as a 19-year-old man? I need to drink as much banana quick as I can get hold of. Just as much, that'll, you know, cure that hangover. Just wait for it. I mixed up almost 2 litres of banana quick.
Yeah.
Have you ever in your life at a supermarket or anywhere else seen banana flavoured cottage cheese? That's got nothing to do with it. 1-333
Disgusting.
Oh, clearly I was, that was drunk.
Yeah.
1-333-53 Give us a call. Play one of our favourite games. Tell us a story and we'll try to decipher whether or not you were drunk or a kid. 1-333-53
Was I drunk? Or was I a kid?
Playing this game where basically you ring up, you tell us a story and we try to decipher whether or not you were drunk at the time or if you were just a kid, because it seems to fall so easily into either category at times.
It's phenomenal how lack of responsibility leads to funny accidents.
I've got Jack on the line. Hello, Jack.
Yeah, how's it going, mate?
Yeah, really good. All right, tell us your story and we'll try to decipher.
So I was on a holiday in Fiji. We were doing a bit of fishing out on a boat and I shit myself.
Oh! Okay. Okay.
So, right. golly gosh.
Okay.
Well, see, the thing is...
Is there more to that story, Jack?
You know what? I don't think there needs to be, miss.
Yeah.
I think it's almost like Hemingway's The Old Man in the Sea.
Yeah.
It's self-contained. Well, see, there's nothing surprising about a kid... losing control of numbers of twosies on a boat.
No, on a boat. But also, too, if you've been drinking the night before and you're a bit crook and you've had starting out the next day, being on a boat, you could lose it. But I just like the way Jack just went from 0 to 100 there,
yep.
You know. He just went from school zone to freeway. Bang.
Bang.
All right, Jack, I don't know. I think he might have had a few.
Yeah, I'm going drunk.
Just because he got to the story so quickly, he couldn't wait to get it out. I'm saying, yeah, we reckon you've had a few, Jack. Were you drunk?
No, I was a kid, actually.
Oh, God, of course, New Zealand. I didn't put it together. Kiwi accent, just heard it there. Yep, all right. Thank you, Jack. Just went out there, and it wasn't even crook. Just got out there, he just went.
Yeah, that'll
hey,
do.
Hey, look, Mum, look what I'm going to do.
That's
a long trip back.
You can use me as Burley.
Yeah. Let's get to Matt. Hello, Matty.
Merrick, Mikey, how are you, Bush?
Very good, mate. All right, drunk or a kid? We've got one from none, or none from one so far.
Okay, so... photographed naked in an empty bathtub, wearing sunglasses, with a toothbrush in my mouth, holding a warm cup of milk.
Ooh, God.
Wow.
Oh, God. That's a well-told story, Matty. You've given us nothing there. Well done.
Also, to boys and girls, don't ever Google that phrase.
No. Or don't try and find the images. Matty.
It sounds like something your parents had...
It sounds like it's a cutesy thing. Your parents have snapped a moment, but you've got milk in the bath, and parents don't let kids take cups of milk in the bath. So I reckon, using that logic, I reckon that you were drunk, Matty.
Okay, I'm going to back Mez on this one.
All right.
Matty, were you drunk?
Yeah, you're good. I was.
Yeah!
Outstanding.
We're back, Mikey!
We're back! Outstanding. I've got to ask, how old were you when it happened?
29.
Wow. A little older than I expected. I did think you were going to say 19. Okay, Matt. Let's not go into the details. Needless to say, you had a great night. Let's get to Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, young guys.
Yeah, very good, mate. Playing drunk or a kid. We're one from two here. All right, this could be the decider.
Yeah, no worries. So it was me and my twin brother, and we're recognised for doing pretty dumb dares back in the day and now today as well. And so we got Dad as boys to eat this ham and cheese toastie, which we cooked on a table in dirt and crap on the day for about 30 degrees all day. And it just turned into mush and it looked disgusting, right? So my brother ate it, and I ate the ham, he ate the cheese, and the first person to vomit was the one to lose, and that was the go, and we've chucked up everywhere. So yeah, it didn't end well.
What a pair of idiots!
Yeah,
I mean,
seriously, there's usually only one dumb one, not two.
You don't normally say.
We usually go together. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't normally stand around saying, "Let's just wait for the ham to go crook before we eat it," because no one's ever been severely sick from doing that.
I think that sounds. You know what? A drunk couldn't wait. I'm going to say kid.
Yeah, good call.
You were right. You got it.
Yeah, good call. Great logic there, mate. Look what happens when we use logic. It all just comes together. Well done.
So how old were you, mate? Oh, geez,
Patrick, how old were you?
We were 16, so a few years back now, a long time ago. But
yeah.
It's pretty stupid.
Maybe you saw the Taubmans ad where, or British Paints, where you crack an egg on the top of the paint lid in the sun.
Yeah, we took it literally.
It was funny how you had the last one you thought was younger. I thought, he's going to say 10. Yeah. he's going to say 10. He's not going to say 16.
Younger, that's for sure.
Enjoy the illness.
Merrick has clocked off after another hard-working day.
People who work in radio have got it pretty tough.
This Triple M Merrick and Australia podcast was brought to you by Cooper's Mild Ale. Cooper's Mild Ale is a 3.5% mid-strength beer that tastes more like a full-strength beer because you can actually taste it.